my God is. That's who my God is. Miracle worker. It's working. Jan, it's working. It's working for you. It's working for you, Jan. I'm telling you. It's working. It's working for me. Jim, it's working for you. It's working. I'm telling you. Even when we don't see it, it's working. God does more behind our backs than he does in front of us. When we're not even sleeping, when we're sleeping, God's still doing it. He never sleeps. He's omnipresent. Oh my goodness. That is who you are. Mighty God. Mighty God. Oh, I'm so glad I made it to the Father's house this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord. I wanted to get here all week. And everything in hell tried to get in my way. I'm telling you, everything. Oh, my goodness. I place a value on this. This coming together, I place a huge value on this. To come together with believers and be immersed in this river of life. Oh, my goodness. It's so good. Where else can you get this? No place. It's wonderful. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, worship team. Oh, what a blessing. Woo! Thank you. What a blessing. Oh, love you, man. Oh, my gosh. You know, I wanted to write a book. That would be a pamphlet. On worshiping yourself well. Worshiping yourself well. I don't know, it just does it. Music just does it for me. Just to get together and have corporate worship. There's something that raises the level of your faith, you know. Every breath I take when we sing those songs, it brings healing. It just brings healing to my body. And, you know, I'm a charismatic. I was saved in the charismatic movement of 1970s, the 1970s, a move of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe anything can happen. You know, I just believe anything can happen. I have expectation, high expectation for every service, every time that anything can happen. Oh, my goodness. And I need stuff to happen. This country needs stuff to happen. The country needs us to be believing for healing, for health, for sanity, for all those things, you know, for order, for goodness, for all kind. The country needs us to be believing and praying. And we're doing it. You know, we're doing it all over the nation. People are praying for this country. It's God's country, and we love it. And so, we're this month we're gazing. This is the first Sunday month, and we're beholding the Spirit, beholding the Spirit. And that particular period that I was saved in was a move of the Spirit, a move of the Spirit. And I was immersed in it. It's too late to talk me out of it. You know, I think Jim, my friend Jim, who I've known for 40 years here this morning, he was the same move of God, I believe. You know, I was saved in, you know, Bainbridge Town Hall, you know, in a move of the Spirit. Like I said, they had three lines: to quit smoking, which I really wanted to do, to receive Jesus, and to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know. So we went in to the baptism of the Holy Ghost one first, you know, because we didn't know the order. You know, we didn't know there was an order. And they said, oh, no, you got to get in this line over here first, you know. You need to receive Jesus, you know, and then maybe you could quit smoking and receive the Holy Spirit, you know. Speak in tongues. You know, people were speaking in tongues. I love that. The heavenly language, the love language of God, you know. Oh, people were praying in the Spirit. It was a move of that kind of Spirit. It took place in the Catholic Church. And I mean, it was a charismatic movement at that time. And St. Joe's Christian Life Center was a wonderful time. It was an incredible time. And I feel this closeness to the Holy Spirit, this closeness to the Spirit of God. And that's what we're gazing at this morning. That's what we're beholding. So turn in your Bible. The Holy Spirit is there right from the get-go in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, I mean, if you're not a charismatic, you can't dance in the Spirit. And my name's David. I was born to dance, okay, in the Spirit. But I didn't know that. I never danced in the Spirit until I got baptized in the Spirit, you know. I mean, my friend Char knows, you never saw me dancing. No, I was very conservative and very, you know. But, man, the Spirit of God gets on you. Hoo-hoo! I mean, you gotta have a little praise break going there, you know what I mean? Oh, man, you just got to break out. In the book of Genesis, the Spirit is there right in the beginning. The Creator Spirit of God. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whew. And he didn't hold back, did he? I mean, he did not hold back. Look at the whole thing. I mean, the whole cosmos, you know, the Milky Way, the sun, the moon, the stars, you know, the greater light for the day and the lesser for the night and all the millions of stars. I mean, he just did not hold back. It's a picture of his benevolence, his love. And somehow we get dulled down to it, you know? I mean, somehow, because, you know, we don't travel far from home. We don't fly across the United States. You know, we sort of get kind of small thinking. It's huge. It says the earth was without form and void. God could not stand that. He could not stand darkness. He has to create. He wants there to be light. In your circumstance this morning, he wants there to be light. He does. That's what healing is. More light, Lord. More light. Bring that more light into you know, I had a procedure recently. You know what they used? A laser. More light. Light brings healing. And he says, the earth was out form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God. Whew. The Spirit of God. Right from the get-go there, the co-creators, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, right there together to bring creation, to bring light out of the darkness, to bring exactly what humanity needed. And it was hovering over the face of the water, like it's hovering over us. You know you're 90% water. And he's hovering. You know, I want to bring healing. I want to bring wholeness. He hovers over us. And if we get still enough, long enough, we can sense the Spirit of God. How many sensed him this morning? That is who you are. That is who you are. He brings healing. Even when we're sleeping, he brings that healing. Oh, in the nighttime, in the night hours. And it says, then God said, the Spirit of God said, let there be light. And there was light. Oh, there was light. Right from the beginning, God demonstrates his creative, benevolent wisdom and power right from the beginning. You know, above anyone that can even imagine, you know, if we were given something to create that time, maybe we'd have made it a little smaller, you know, and a little more manageable, you know. Why do you can manage this, you know? But no. He does it so huge, so big. You know, it moved with great power and created the universe. That's what it says. God so loved the world. You know, when you see that, John 3:16, God so loved the world. That word world is universe. It's universe. So God is a universalist. Okay. Oops. Oops. That's theologically. I mean, Don't copy that. Don't write that down. But anyway, but you know who saw this? You know who saw this in a major way? Was David. Look at it in Psalm 8. I love this. Oh, I love this. In Psalm 8, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh, that's what we were praising him this morning. His name is above every name. Aren't you glad there's a name above every name? Oh, my goodness. And I know some of the names you've been using. But we have a name that's worthy of praise. We really do. And it says, you have set your glory in the heavens. So David's out in the wilderness there, you know, watching his father's sheep, and he's looking into the heavens. And he, you know, there's nothing for him to do but to look into the heavens. And he's looking there and he goes, oh my God, how incredible. Can you imagine how bright the stars were back then in that day? No light pollution, you know, nothing. Just a beautiful heavens, an open heaven. And that's what he gets. He gets this open revelation of who God is that we lose in our everyday life with all the, you know, the stuff that we have to go through that dulls us down and makes us fearful and seems too big for God. Oh, that's just too big for God, you know. The God who made the universe, the God who made the Milky Way, the God who made the sun, all right? That's just too hard for God, you know. No. He says, nothing's too hard for me. With God, all things are possible. My expectation that anything can happen. Anything can be restored. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, he can redeem my life. He did. He redeemed my life from destruction. Oh, my goodness. I was in such a bad way. Destroyed. Broken down. It says, out of the mouth of babes and the nursing infants, you have ordained strength. It says that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So when we get in that childlike state of knowing God is bigger than all our problems, all our situations, that he's our father, and we have a father, a benevolent, loving father that we can go to, it says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers. Kathy said it in the opening a couple weeks ago. He just used a couple fingers. He didn't even use his whole creative power yet, okay? I mean, this is a figurative point where he just single-handedly did this with a couple. I mean, this is the power of God. Oh, I'm glad there's something bigger than me, okay? Something bigger than all of us, something bigger out there. The moon, the stars, the awe, standing in awe of God's creation, which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him? In the middle of all this glory, of all this beauty, what's man? What is man to all this? And he says right there, it says, and the Son of Man that you have visited him, you have made him a little lower than the angels. And that word angels is Elohim, or God. We're a notch down. So we worship him. But we're on that you know, we're just there. We're just there. We have the ability to reason, to understand God, to look at the heavens. You know, I don't know if a dog could look at heaven and say, you know, God did this. You know, I mean, I know they enjoy God's creation, but we can look at it and go, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have covered, you have crowned him with glory and honor. You are God's crowning creation. Your highest order. The highest order, Johnny. God's crowning. I know your wife knows that. Oh, yeah, she knows that. God's crowning creation. Oh, my goodness. It says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and put all things under his feet. So he makes us co-creators with him, or procreators. He puts us in charge. Right here, he puts us in charge. And he says, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the field, the air, the fish, the sea, you pass through the sea. Oh, Lord, how excellent. Can you say that? How excellent is your name in all the earth? He has made us stewards over this wonderful creation, and we do have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to care for this creation, this beautiful creation that he has made. And he has given us the ingenuity how to take care of things. How to take care of things. I see it happening many times. How to clean up the oceans. How to clean up the environment. How to clean up the air. You know, we have a part in this. We definitely have a part in this. And he wants us to have a part in this. Go back to Genesis. Genesis 2:7. Back in Genesis, It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's it. He with those two fingers, he just lifted up the dust of the ground, and he formed you and me, every individual. So different, so divinely different, so wonderfully made. His crowning creation. Oh, that's what he did. And he breathed. Wow. He breathed into his nostrils. God breathed. I'm not against science, all right? I don't know if you think there's an order of creation and creationists and all that, but at some point, he breathed into man. I'm telling you. Woo, I'm telling you. At some point, he breathed into man, and it separated him from everything else. You know, when I did youth ministry for many years, we used to say there's a form of bonding. There's a bonding. There's eye to eye. Ooh, hey, baby. You know what? You look really good, you know. There's this eye-to-eye connection. Then there's this, could I just hold your hand? I want to hold your hand. So there's this connection. There's these levels of bonding that we do, you know. And then there's this, you know, hand to, you know, neck. Remember that one? You know, there's this level. And then, hand to head, you know, the head rub. And all along, you're doing this level of bonding. But when you really get into bonding, there's mouth to mouth. We call it the first kiss, don't we? I'm telling you, if you've gone that far. But it's a level of intimacy that he demonstrates to us. And God breathed. It's a level of intimacy with his creation, with you, that he wants to have. That he wants to have with you like no other. Like no other being on this earth. This mouth to mouth. His kisses are better than wine. That's what it says in the Song of Solomon. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. The kisses of God. The kisses of God. Oh, my goodness. How many have felt them? How many have felt them? Yes, yes. Oh, the favor of God, the love of God. Oh, that's what you were created for, to have that level of intimacy with God. He said, and he breathed life. It's the breath of life that he's put into you. The breath of life that he wants you to live in. And the man became a life-giving being. Whew. A co-creator, a procreator. That's why we sanctify life. We see life as sanctified because we know we put the value on it. We know the value that we put upon it. Whew. Oh, my goodness. You have to see everyone with that sense of value. When you go to a place, you know, and you say, man, God loves all these people. Is that possible? Yes, because he's put a value on it. Yes, because he created a sun and a moon and the stars and galaxies. He's big enough. He loved the entire cosmos. He's big. See, your God becomes too small. You know, when they have all this 24/7 fear factor going on all the time, they dull down. God, you know, we got to handle this. We got to handle this. We got to take care of this. Oh, we need God, you know. I need God. I need God. And medicine has been wonderful, but I need God. And God and medicine work together. Do you know that? God and medicine work together. Oh, we're in such a good place. We're in such a good place. Oh, man shares in the creative work of Almighty God. That's what he's telling us right here. I want you to share in the creative work, in this creative work. From being a life-giving being. You have that potential. You know, you have that potential to be life-giving. Life-giving. And what happens? What happens? Well, we failed. Genesis 7. God didn't fail. He didn't fail. And what's he do? He scraps the whole thing in the ark. Man sins. God, you know, gets frustrated with the whole thing, you know. And he scraps the whole thing. He scraps the whole thing because you know what he wants? He doesn't want numbers. He wants relationship. He wants intimacy. That's what God is looking for. That's what he's looking for. You know, he's not, you know, man looks for numbers. God looks for intimacy. God's looking for the individual that he can love, that he can reveal himself to, that'll devote himself to, they'll devote themselves to him. That's what God is looking for. Yes, he loves this corporate setting, but he's working with individuals. I don't know, there's nobody like that loves God like Johnny loves God. Nobody. So, I mean, I know this man, okay? And he loves him in such a special way. You know, nobody like Ken loves God. That's what he's looking for, this individual love that you have for him, that you have for him, that no one can love and have this relationship with God like you do, and that's what he's hungry for. So what he says, it says, all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, the spirit of life that was on the dry land. So he destroyed all the living things that were in the face of the ground, both men and cattle and creeping things and birds of the air, and destroyed them from the earth, and only Noah. Whew. Now he gave everybody else a chance to get in the ark, to get in on this thing, okay? He gave everybody. There was a warning. You need to get into this thing, okay? You need to get in. And it says, and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. It's the first picture we see of redemption. God can redeem all things. God can redeem all things. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. You know, I'm not saying that God's not into structure, okay? But I'm saying he's more into relationship. He's more into relationship than he is into structure. I mean, that's just what he is. He's a relational God. He's an intimate God. Oh, and the church is not just a structure. It's an organism. Okay, it's an organism. And we are that church. We are that church. It's not about church. And I'm glad that everybody can come to church and be together. I put a high value on it. But you can know God without church. Ooh. And I'm not trying to give you a license not to come. Because I love seeing you here. I'm telling you, I love being here. I love knowing that I have men surrounding me and women that are praying for me and supporting me. Oh, I love a place that I can come and worship myself well. Okay? Oh, just worship and worship and feel good about that. So God, he says, you can have relationship with me. I will restore relationship with me. What's the over in verse in Genesis 2 or 7:17, he says, now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The water increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. We're in that ark. We're in that ark of protection. It's a picture of the cross. It's a picture of redemption. It's a picture of the blood of Jesus. It lifts us above to a higher place, above our circumstances. Oh my goodness, yes, we're in circumstances, we're in a predicament, we're in trouble, but he's lifting us up to a higher place. Whew. I mean, what the ark was made of wood, gopher wood, it's a picture of the cross. It's a type of Jesus, redemption. He can lift us up. And when you have that revelation, you're not always down. You're not fearful. You know, you have hope. You have hope. You have hope in what only God can do. Not what man can do. Not what an administration can do. Not what, you know, what God can do. God is able to do above and all beyond what we can even ask or think. Oh, he's got plans for you and me. He's got plans for us. He's got plans. Hey, I want to stay alive just to see what God does. Amen. Oh, my gosh. Now, here's a picture of this in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, it's a wonderful picture. It describes it perfectly. It says, and so it is written. It is written. You know, when that is said, it is written. Thus saith the Lord. The first man, Adam, became a living being. So we know that happened, right? We just read about that in the book of Genesis, that the first man, Adam, became a living being when God breathed in. God breathed. And we've been breathing ever since. You know, freely you have received, freely, freely, freely that we were breathing. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Who's the last Adam? Jesus. See, Jesus is the last Adam. He's a new kind of creation. He is the God-man. The God-man. The one that brings redemption to the system. That redeems us from all of this. Oh, how many love him? Oh, my goodness. I thank God I put my trust in him. The second Adam, the new creation, the brand new man, and he wants us all to share in that. That's his plan, that we all share in that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the new Adam. Whew, a new man, a brand new man, a new form of man, a new kind of man. Woo, hallelujah. A new kind of man, a God man. Oh, man, I would never a God, man. Oh, I tell you this story. I was into drugs and alcohol and all this stuff, you know, and I gave my life to the Lord. And my pastor, who was an old hippie from Kent State, we went to see another guy who was, you know, in trouble. And we're talking to the guy, and the pastor said, Dave and I are men of God. And I looked at him, and I said, talking about me? That's the first time I was ever called a man of God. A man of God? I've been called a lot of things back in that day, you know? But a man of God? We're men of God. We're men and women of God. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm of God. Oh my gosh, how wonderful. And it sustains me and it brings me life. I'm of God. And he wants every individual to know that they're of God. And they have that potential to be like God. However, the spiritual is not first. Whew, I was a mess, you know. I was dust. I was dirt. I was the man of the ground, you know. I mean, I was really a lowlife. Oh, my goodness. I was in trouble. I mean, I was in the flesh, that's for sure. It says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. Oh, my goodness. How many are in the Spirit this morning? How many are in the Spirit? Yes, he puts us into that place in the Spirit. I'm not there by myself. I didn't go to school to do this, okay? I'm not a self-made man. I'm a God-made man. Whew. He created me to do this, to encourage people, to tell them you can do this too. He got put the Spirit in you. Oh, we're beholding the Spirit today in you, in you. It says the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Whew. Wow. This whole idea is from heaven. It's a heavenly idea. I mean, this is not an earthly idea. This is not just a good idea. You go to school and you'll better yourself, and that's all right. You get a good job and better. This is a heavenly idea. He wants to put you in the heavenly realm, in a whole other position, to see things from a whole different position, seated with him in Christ Jesus, a better overview of what's going on. We can see this thing that's going on in the nation, this disease and all these things from a different perspective. God is able to bring healing through this, to bring his glory through this. We can have a whole different perspective. We don't have to jump in the ocean of fear with everybody else. I'm jumping in. No, don't stop. Hold me back. I'm going for the river of life. Yeah. We were in the river of life this morning. Oh, my goodness. We were jumping in the river of life. Some people are still at home watching CNN or Fox, I'm sorry, or both, you know, or they're still sitting there in the river of fear. Oh, my gosh, I got to get a mask. And I got two of them at home. I'll sell them to you. Don't waste your money. Wow. See, we got a choice here. He's risen. He's given us a heavenly perspective. A heavenly perspective. And that's what we do together is we keep enforcing that heavenly perspective. Yeah, that's not the word. Yeah, we keep, you know, lifting that heavenly perspective. You know, you can do this. We're in a different place. We're in a whole different place. It says, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of the dust. As the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. We're heavenly. I don't care what you know, think of yourself. I know what God thinks of you and who you are. He sees you as heavenly. He sees you as heavenly. He sees you as wonderful. Jesus. See, we go outside this realm, not bound by this realm. We move outside this realm into the heavenly, so we're not bound by this realm in fear, in torment, in frustration. You know how much money people lost this month in their retirement? Oh, my goodness. Difficult things. This month, this week, there could be more to come. Where are we going to put our trust? Where are we going to put our faith? How are we going to manage this thing? How are we going to keep our sanity? How are we going to walk in love and power and a sound mind? How are we going to do that? In getting into that heavenly realm. Getting into that heavenly realm. I got there this morning. I'm telling you, I got there this morning. I need to get there on a regular basis. On a regular basis. Where was I? It says, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We're going to look like God. We're going to look like Jesus. We're going to look like Jesus. Don't you have something, someone we can look to who we want to be like? Who we want to be like. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. You got to get in the spirit. See, he's put you in this spirit. He's put you in this place. In Romans 5:5, it says, now hope does not disappoint. I am hopeful. I walk in hope. I am an encourager. I am an exhorter. That's the gift that God put on my life. To exhort people, you can do this. You can do this. It says, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. By who? The Holy Spirit. Behold the Spirit. See, this is not a transaction, folks. This is an outpouring. This is not a quick pro quo. How many have been familiar with that term, okay? It's just not. I'll do something for you if you do something for me. No, that's what it's not. You bring nothing to the table except yourself. It's an outpouring. Why do you think Jesus was so mad at the temple? Because they try to make forgiveness a transaction. That made him so mad. This forgiveness is not a transaction. You do this for me and I'll forgive you. No, you forgive. Healing is not a transaction. It's an outpouring. If I pray enough, if I'm good enough, I'll be healed. I will never be good enough. It's an outpouring. Oh, you can try. You can do stuff because I love to pray. I love to read the word. But I'm telling you, it is an outpouring. It's an outpouring. It is not a transaction. We live in a transactional society. If you're good, somebody will be good to you. If you're bad, I'll be bad to you. You only deserve badness, you know. No, with God, it's unconditional. It's an outpouring of His love. What the Spirit was poured out by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's why I love the Spirit. The Spirit of God. Love is not a transaction. Love is not a transaction. It's an outpouring. It's an outpouring of His love. That's where we're at today. We're at this place of this outpouring. And He says what? In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Just be aware of it. Just receive it. You just receive it. I mean, it's not a transaction. What did the disciples say? Silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. They knew it wasn't a transaction. They knew it was an outpouring. A miraculous outpouring of God's favor and God's love and God's healing. Whew. Oh, that's where we live. That's what we're exploring. All month, we're going to explore all month the power of the Holy Spirit, the move of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit. Oh, I think I had one more scripture, didn't I? Was it in John? John, there it is, John 20, 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. That's what He's saying here this morning. Peace to you. Can you have peace in the midst of this turmoil? Can you have peace? Yes. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives us. Nope. Not like the world. It's a whole different kind of peace. It means tranquility in the face of disorder and alarming circumstances. That's what we have. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Because it comes from a higher level, a heavenly realm. It comes from the heavenly realm. We're not bound by this earth. Oh, my goodness. Woo! Are you excited about this? I certainly am. Woo! I don't have to go from diagnosis to diagnosis, okay? I don't have to, you know, I mean, I have a higher realm. I have a realm. I am in a higher realm. Peace to you. God's saying that to all of you this morning. Peace to you. Just to hear that word, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Whew. Oh, we're sending you out of here this morning. All cranked up with hope and love and healing and joy. Oh, that's how I want to just usher you out of this place. Go in peace. Go in the peace of God. Oh, I can't go where you work. And they won't even let me talk to them over there. You know, I mean, they're not going to give me time on the lunch break. But you're there. You're there with individuals in a relationship of love with the Father that He wants to release to those around you. Not just parrot what they said on CNN or parrot what they said on Fox or parrot what they said everywhere else, but say what God said. Let's say what God said. It says, and when He had said this, He breathed. Ooh, mouth-to-mouth relationship. He kissed them. The kisses from the Father. The kisses from the Son. The kisses from the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Oh, just receive those kisses this morning. Kisses of love. He breathed on them and said, come on, open your arms. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whew. Just receive. I mean, I need more. I need more unconditional love. I need more healing. I need more peace. I need more joy. I need more. I need more. There's so much. Think of that God who created the universe and the outpouring that He has. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. He is able, folks. I'm telling you, he is able. And he said, "He receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." No transaction. This is not a transaction. This is an outpouring. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. We live in this time of an outpouring of his love and his grace like never before in human history. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. I'm just not focused on the sin. I'm focused on the grace. Oh my goodness. Grace is not a transaction. It's an outpouring. And it's pouring out this morning. It's pouring out this morning. Oh, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins, you know you have that power to forgive. You know that you, and forgiveness, it's just linked with healing. In the psalm, it says, "And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases." They're just linked. They're just linked together. And you're the one that can impart it. I'm not some special anointed dude, you know what I mean, that's got this power. You got the power. You got the power. Woo! You just got to release it. You just got to know first that you got it. You got it. You got it. Oh my goodness, you got it. I want you to turn to somebody this morning. Just face them. Put your hand on their shoulder. Just face them. Put your hand on their shoulder. Go ahead and find somebody. Whew. Find out what they need. I want you to find out what they need, okay? And I want you to pray. If you don't have any need, that's fine. But if you find out, ask them, what do you need from the Holy Spirit this morning? And as let's just release healing. Let's just release faith. If they just say, "I need more of the Holy Spirit, I need more help, I need just more, Lord," just release it to them here this morning, because you got it. I'm telling you, he gave it to you. It was breathed into you. This life was breathed into you, into man. So we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here this morning. For what you're doing here this morning. Lord, thank you for Jim. Praise you, Lord. More of your spirit. More of your unconditional love. More of your joy and peace. Everything that he needs, Lord. Whew, just release it. Just release it now. Amen. Amen. How does it feel to move in power? How does it feel to move in power, folks? Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.